as someone once sang, Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, and that gives you a flavour of what is in store this week as we throw caution to the wind and spend yet more time at home with the Williamses. This week, Christmas parties are on the table, or perhaps under the table, if you've experienced any of this family in their younger, more reckless days.
Have you ever photocopied your breasts or your bum on a photocopier, Gwen?
My bum.
What? There you go. When
really?
Was this?
Ew.
I can't remember.
When did you do that?
That's a long time
you
ago.
You freak.
Nana Gwen, well, I never. And that's not the only revelation on the way.
I came in today and my dad was dipping a croissant into mushroom soup.
And it was absolutely wonderful. And
this is where you get it from.
And the mushroom soup was more miso-y than anything. So it was like a miso mushroom soup with croissant.
Some things are better left unsaid. But mushrooms and croissant aside, this week is all about those wonderful Christmas gatherings. And if Robbie were to be the recipient of his own advice and let someone else entertain him at a party, what would he choose?
I'd like to see some magic. I like magic.
Great minds. If you'd have come to me then, I'd have said magic.
Like a magician just hanging about, doing
things.
Magic here and there.
Yeah.
Robbie and Ida are generous folk. And this week, they've opened their doors to welcome in some of Robbie's band.
Here's a question. What should we call them?
I was just thinking
That's a good question, yeah.
I had two hamsters called Crispin and Bollock. That's probably not right.
Crispin and Bollock.
I hope you don't mind my repeating myself, but I would hate to have any child's ears infected by some of the language that comes out of the mouths of the Williamses. They are liberal with swearing, so do heed this warning. We begin our perilous journey into the Williamses' home by eavesdropping on Ida, Robbie, Nana Gwen, and Papa Pete. And the astute among you will recognise the festive gurglings of young baby Coco as well, even at such a young age. Not one to miss out on any party chat.
We're doing a party, and guess who's just walked in is the ultimate party in her pants, Gwen Field.
Hello.
It's very nice that we've got Grampy Pete, or Papa Pete 299, and we've got Go-To Gwen, which is your handle. I think we should just refer to you both as your handle names.
Really?
Go-To Gwen and Papa Pete 299. It's nice having both of the in-laws.
So what are we doing today?
We're going to be talking about Christmas parties.
Oh, my Lord.
Christmas party.
Wow.
Do you like that? It's a party in here today because we've got, I need helpful elves if we're going to do parties. I can't do it all myself.
Oh,
so we're going to have to delegate. Because a Christmas party requires lots of planning of food and alcohol and cocktail drinks and music selection. Timing a Christmas party is key because you've got to time it where people are in town before they go away, but it still has to feel Christmassy. Like you can't have it in November, but you leave it too late till December, everyone's buggered off.
Gwen,
no one to come.
What's your Christmas party drink?
It used to be eggnog.
Yes.
I love eggnog.
I've never had eggnog.
You've never had eggnog?
No, never.
It's sort of like a pina colada in summertime.
Pina colada, yeah.
If I make you an eggnog, will you have it?
Yes.
Ida, what's your Christmas drink?
My Christmas drink is a Moscow Mule.
What's in a Moscow Mule?
Moscow.
It's Moscow, by the way.
It's vodka. Well, it's vodka, and it's ginger beer.
Yeah.
And lime.
Nice.
And a whole lot of it. And you got to put it in a copper cup in a little mug with a little
I've seen you do that.
Sprig in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Party well,
also,
in a
you know, let's not forget mold
I made
wine.
My own.
Mold wine mold is another, wine. That's another big holiday favorite.
Dad, what's your go-to
What's
Christmas
your go-to drink?
Drink?
My go-to Christmas drink is my drink anyway.
I was just putting milk in it.
I did that tequila.
With the tequila. I haven't wrapped my head around that
And
one.
I put the milk in it. It was good.
Wait, tequila and
milk? Milk and tequila.
I got the wrong carton packet, didn't I? I
thought combo it was Unica.
I think this is where you get the Combo Unica
I thought it was orange juice.
And bear in mind, I came in today and my dad was dipping a croissant into mushroom soup.
And it was absolutely wonderful.
And this is where you get it from.
And the mushroom soup was more miso-y than anything. So it was like a miso mushroom soup
with croissant.
I
think if people out there don't know this about Rob, but one of the running things in our relationship is Rob likes what we call a combo unico. So back in the day, you used to put like salad cream on watermelon or peanut butter with grapes. And I was always just so like,
I know where that comes from.
Grossed out. But now when I'm listening, I think he gets Combo Unico from you, Pete, because I don't know anyone who puts those two things together and likes them. Like I've never heard of tequila and milk together.
What'd you call it? Milkila.
Makila?
It was
Tilk.
I tell you what happened. I got this tequila. We were in Mexico and we were given this tequila and I took it home with me and I got some orange juice and I got orange juice and in the fridge with my milk. And I got the wrong carton out and tipped the rather than put the orange juice into the tequila, I put the milk in and I put the ice in. And I thought, this is a funny colour. Let's change. But I'd done it then, so I thought, hey, take it from me. Everybody says it can't taste nice. It really is quite something.
I feel like that's that like Coca-Cola and wine combination. I can't, I just can't wrap my head around.
No, no, well, take it from me. It was, isn't the other one a tequila sunrise?
Tequila sunrise is orange juice.
Yeah, well, that, well, it's tequila
and
milk.
Grenadine. Should we put Coco back with the other children so she doesn't tell them we're doing fun things without them?
Yes.
Okay, Nana Gwen.
Yeah.
Go to Gwen.
Yeah.
Lady on the go.
Lady on the go. Can you be on the go with
Coco? Take the child to the kitchen.
Because it's her dinner time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Coco. Coco. See you in a couple minutes.
Bye, Coco.
It was Coco's dinner time, and Ida and Robbie have wisely entrusted her into the care of Nana Gwen, for as we've just learned, when it comes to feeding, you do not want another generation of Williamses to befall the legacy of Papa Pete's food and drink combinations. Or I could be wrong. And croissant dipped in mushroom miso soup could become all the rage in 2020. Stranger things have happened. In the time it's taken for Coco to leave, Ida, Robbie, and Papa Pete have moved on to beverages.
But the other drink that I'd drink at any time anyway is red wine.
Red wine and champagne, I think, are on Christmas Day standard staples.
They're standard, yeah.
I think are like one and two.
Do you know what happens to me as the recovering alcoholic? Is that people go around the room and they go, do you want a drink? Do you want a drink? Do you want a drink? And then they get to me and they go, do you want a soft drink?
Yeah, they do.
Or they go, do you want a drink? Do you want a drink? Do you want a drink? Do you want an orange juice? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know why in their head, it's like, I don't have alcohol, so I'm going to have an orange juice. That's happened more than once.
That's
it's happened
so funny.
Several times where in their head they go to juice. But it's normally the people that need to be recovering alcoholics that say that to me. So if you're in a room full of people,
a big giveaway of a future alcoholic is someone asking you if you want juice.
Yes. No, seriously. It's funny. Like it's in their mind. They know that that person doesn't drink. He's got a bit of a history. I'm going to say
juice,
soft drink, or orange juice.
Do you think they get uncomfortable about it?
Yeah, because like, would you like a drink? In this situation is some water, right? So you can say to a recovering alcoholic.
I have seen a few people put a glass of wine in front of you not knowing.
Yeah.
So not everyone knows about the raging alcoholism.
No,
but I suppose
no,
people
they
know.
Don't. But the people that do, can. If you want to say, do you want a drink? You can say, do you want a drink?
Yeah. I've never thought of that. I mean, obviously,
do you remember,
I don't ever ask you for juice.
Do you remember taking that drink on that television program when you didn't know it was a drink?
And There was this
in Germany. Oh, in Vegas.
There was this
Germany.
Yeah.
In Vegas, it happened.
No, in Vegas as well.
Yeah.
There's a guy, and I'm singing to him, and he's got this like can of what looks like a soft drink, and I said, "Is that a soft drink?"
Yeah.
And he went, "Yes," and I took a sip, and it was beer.
Right. Where was this?
In Vegas.
Front row.
Front row.
I also had like a mini crisis watching it happen, going, oh my gosh, is this going to trigger a relapse?
No.
But thank God it didn't. But I was just like, that's a very irresponsible thing to do, is to give an alcoholic when they've asked you if there's alcohol.
Anyway, ask me what I'm going to drink at the Christmas
party.
Okay,
what are you going to drink at the Christmas party?
Orange juice.
Excuse me while I scratch orange juice from Robbie's stocking. In my defense, I thought he liked it. Now we all know that you do not need alcohol to enjoy yourself at a Christmas party. Just ask all the sober children who are always having a whale of a time.
Okay, I'm trying to get the visuals here for the Christmas party. We've talked about what kind of drinks we want. We've started to talk about some kind of food that we might like, but more importantly, I think we've got to get to the ambiance, which is the music. What are we going to play at the Christmas party?
Do you know, we need a song that starts that party right.
Yeah.
And I think I've got it.
What is it?
It's the song that started this whole The Christmas Present album idea. 3 years ago, one Christmas, I was with Brummy Carl, my drummer. We were in the studio.
Does that make him a Brummer?
Yeah, a Brummer.
Brummer.
And we decided to write a song that would encapsulate birthday or New Year or Christmas or Valentine's. And then we wrote this one song called Bad Sharon. And it was so much fun, Christmas song, that that was when the seed was planted to do a whole Christmas album. Bad Sharon itself is kind of like a boozy office dude party in the 70s in Birmingham.
In fact, Bad Sharon was the song that I thought for the longest time was going to be the first single because I loved it that much. And then you had to go make a bunch of other really amazing songs. And then
well, Bad Sharon was the only Christmas song that we had.
But it was the one that the minute you made it, I remember we'd play it over and over and I was like, you've got to do a Christmas album because it was just so great and it was so festive and it really sums up that Christmas party that you go to where everyone gets a bit sloppy, someone does something really stupid, everyone's talking about it.
Especially Sharon.
Especially Sharon. She's the centerpiece of all of it.
I think I went out with her one.
Have you ever photocopied your breasts or your bum on a photocopier, Gwen?
My bum.
What?
There you go. When
really?
Was this?
Ew.
I can't remember.
When did you do that?
That's a long time ago.
You freak. You freaky dick, you dirty little thing.
Was that at
thing.
Christmas or not?
It was the thing to do at one time, though, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
If you went to a party and there was a photocopier there, what are they there for?
I guess it's like the pre-dick pic, isn't it? It's where you just Xerox your bits.
Yeah. No. Can you fax me a nude?
Them, and then you fax
no,
them over.
No, I don't.
Or in Gwen's case, you ask the carrier pigeon to send it.
Ho, ho, ho. I remember that Christmas with Nana Gwen and the photocopier. Admittedly, it was a disturbing letter to then send to Santa, but she was much younger then, and not as wise as she is now. But we've gone off track. How unusual. Luckily, we have Ida to get us back on topic with some more name-drop clangers from the Williams' Life and Times in Los Angeles.
Oh, that also reminded me of another Christmas thing that happened at Christmas, which was quite remarkable, is it wasn't a party, but we were having drinks at our house on Clarendon, and we had a particular neighbor over in Clarendon, and you had a friend named Graham who had flown across from Stoke-on-Trent to be with us for Christmas with you, and we were all sat having drinks, and then you take it from there, Pete, on what happened.
This was wonderful. My friend Graham came with me to LA. We're sitting on a settee. I'm sitting here. Rob's to my left. And to my right is Tom Jones. Graham's gone to bed in the afternoon for a little kip, and he comes downstairs and walks in, sits by the side of me, surprised that we got the drinks out because we never had a drink since we arrived. And he said, "Are you drinking?" And he said, "Yes." So he said, "Go and get a glass." So I poured him a drink, and he clinks. I said, "This is Tom. Hiya, Tom. Hello, how are you?" So he's now sitting by the side of me, in between me and Tom Jones.
And he actually goes.
Yeah, that was the best
He
bit.
Goes, Tom, no, like
he
Tom
goes
Jones.
He goes to introduce himself, because I was out
there.
He's
introduced himself. He's clinked glasses with him. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And then the conversation carried on because the conversation stopped when Graham was taking the drink. And Tom said, the Ricky Hatton fight. He said, "I'm in the ring." He said, and they're singing the national anthems. He said, everything was quiet when they sang the British national anthem. He said, I was never so embarrassed to be British when they sang the National Anthem of America, he said, because our lot were making such a noise. And Graham's suddenly realised who he's sitting next door to, and slowly his head turned right, and he looked at Tom Jones, and he went, "Oh! Oh!" And he got down on one knee.
He got down on one knee.
And bowed to him
like it was
like
King Arthur.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm awfully sorry." He said, "It's all right."
But the thing is,
when he came in, he goes, "Tom said, my name's Tom." And Graham went, "Oh, like bloody Tom Jones." Which we all went, and he still hadn't clocked it yet. And then Tom was
wearing a baseball cap.
Yes, and then Tom spoke, and then Graham turned his head and realized it actually was bloody Tom Jones.
Yeah.
And then got down like Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
And
the follow-up story to that, the following year, I'm out with Tom, we're down at Vibrato, And we're just talking normally about normal things. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, how's your friend who doesn't know who I am?
Another great story from Christmas.
From that Christmas time, talking about people getting sloppy and boozy.
It was a Christmas party.
It was
house.
It was Christmas.
No,
it was actual Christmas.
Christmas.
It was actual, no. No. This was actual Christmas.
Gwen?
And we had our chef. And as the courses were coming, I suppose he was partaking in some merriment. And by the time it was dessert, we couldn't find our chef. And we went into the kitchen and he was passed out.
On the floor.
On the floor in the fetal
with his arms wrapped around our wolf.
Wrapping around our big, huge wolf dog, holding him like two lovers in the night, like John and Yoko in the bed pose. And he was passed out next to the dog bowl with the dog. And we could not wake him up. He was so sauced and wasted.
And every decent Christmas party deserves some decent Christmas conversation around the dinner table. And it pains me to say that what's to come is not decent, not in the slightest.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. At Christmas, you know, we always have a very modern Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, your partner's mom's ex-partner, now his new wife, who's not really his new wife because they've been married together forever. But we have what we call an extended modern family at the Christmas table every year. And everyone gets along. We have a great time. But mind you, Mom was married to Vance, and Vance is now married to Elaine. And we're all around the Christmas table for Christmas dinner. And we start the table off asking everyone how their Christmas is going, and to which I think you should do, Elaine and Vance. We ask Elaine and Vance.
So I said to Elaine, I said, hey, Elaine, how's your day? And she said, oh, it's great. I started off this morning by pleasuring Vance. But I have an injury to my knee because of rollerblading, so I couldn't get in a proper position, but I managed it somehow. And then we went out to the, then just carried on as normal.
This is literally happening as the turkey is placed on the table and all the forks just kind of drop, but she's completely unaware. Meanwhile, Mom is sat next to her as she's talking about pleasuring Mom's ex-husband.
And your brother.
And my brother.
His son.
The kids. I mean, both of us. I mean, I know I'm his stepdaughter, but he still was my father. You know, Jill and I are sat there throwing up in our Yorkshire puddings about my dad getting a blowjob at the table.
The table didn't blink. The whole table carried on like they said, how was your morning? Oh, it was great. I went to work. That's how the whole table received that piece of news.
But inside, Dylan and I wept a little bit. I mean, the visual of Vance getting sucked off at the Christmas table is not my favorite.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Now, I do trust that you took my earlier warning to heart. Such language, abusing though it may be. Oh, an episode at home with the Williamses would not be complete without a game. It's almost as if they make up these games on the spot without putting much thought into it at all. Still, let's hand over now to Question Master Robbie for this one.
So I've got a bit of a game.
Okay, I love a game.
Love a game.
So do I.
You're planning the ultimate office party.
Okay.
You guys...
Are we the office?
...are planning the ultimate office party.
Okay. Yeah.
You choose a DJ. Which DJ do you choose?
I was going to say Pete Tong because we know him. But then I think if we go Pete Tong, doesn't mean it's going to go wrong.
Right.
Cockney slime language.
Cockney slime.
I meant to say slang language and rhyme. Yeah, slime came out.
That's even better.
Cockney slime.
Yeah, do it in Cockney slime.
But can we forego the DJ for some carolers? Or do we have to have a DJ?
You can have a carolers.
I'm putting carolers in.
Dad?
My DJ will be Terry Wogan himself.
Terry Wogan.
It's got to be Terry Wogan, hasn't it?
So there'll be a lot of talking at your party.
Yes, Terry Wogan will just make the party go with a bang.
Just so he's in the room.
Just so he's there.
What about you, Rob?
Mine would be Terminator X from Public Enemy.
You are very street.
No, I'm not. Genuinely, it's my favourite DJ.
Okay.
What a coincidence. My favourite DJ also happens to be Terminator X. And fun fact, after his time in Public Enemy, X, as I call him, spent some time working in the family business, which happened to be an ostrich farm. I believe they have since moved on to goats. Okay, back to Quizmaster Robbie Robster.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
What would we do for entertainment at our perfect office party?
I'm just going to throw your name into the ring because that keeps costs down and you're really good at it. So I feel like A, bang for buck because you're free and you're Robbie Williams. So I'm going to put you up for entertainment.
Okay. I'd like to see some magic. I like magic.
Great minds. If you'd have come to me then, I'd have said magic.
Like a magician doing close-up magic here and there.
Yeah.
Gwen probably wants to have a sex act or something creepy. What do you want, Gwen?
I was kind of going with the magic too, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We can't have three magic.
Like Magic Mike. Is that the magic?
Yeah, Magic Mike would be good.
That would be the magic I think you would want.
Yeah, Magic Mike would
be
great.
So you would like, what's his name, Magic Mike?
Channing Tatum.
You would like Channing Tatum.
Yeah, sure.
To come and do his Magic Mike all over your boink.
All over your Xerox machine.
And what would the theme be of this party?
Is Christmas too much of a theme?
Excuse me, but since it's this year and we do have the Christmas present coming out, it could be a Christmas carol theme or it could be...
Henceforth, the carolers being perfect.
Okay,
Can we do that? I like that.
Why don't we all have it be a Dickensian Scrooge kind of Christmas? And you can be Tiny Tim.
Can we not invite the girlfriends of Christmas past because we don't have enough room in our house for you?
I like the sound of that.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, done.
How many bedrooms have you got?
Well, we don't have enough to fill up the girlfriend's pass for Rob or for you.
Who would you invite?
Otherwise, it's going to be a fire hazard.
Who would you invite, dead or alive? I personally invite three alive people.
Just more lively company?
Yeah. Who would you invite, dead or alive, three people?
Three people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of Lizzo right now, so I kind of feel like she'd be fun at the party.
Okay, Gwen?
George Clooney came to mind. I don't know why.
Because you're filthy. You're a filthy, filthy woman.
Who was that?
George Clooney.
Okay, so we've got George Clooney, Lizzo, and now then, Terry Wogan.
Now you're going to tell me who mine are going to. You'll tell me who I'm
going to. Oh, go on. Frank, first one. Sammy, Dina.
Yeah, the Rat Pack. Yeah. Let's just give them the Rat Pack because then it counts as one guest.
Right. And then a sporting person. Next one.
Ian Botham.
Okay. No, it's
JFK,
a boxer.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
JFK, I have some questions.
Okay. Do you know what? I hate that dinner question.
Who would you like to have a dinner?
Who would you like to have a dinner?
Dinner with?
Yeah.
So that's a similar thing.
I know, yeah. I'd like Ida, you, my mum, Gwen, and our children. So there you go.
Look at you being morally superior, not picking the fancy people.
And what song needs to be on the Christmas playlist at that party?
I think your
album. It's a
Wonderful
Life.
I think the Christmas present, the album that you got, would be a perfect album.
Well, I'm going for A Time for Change from my album because it's a single and it needs all the play that it can get.
I'm also going to go for Rudolph because that's my...
Rudolph from the Christmas present.
From the Christmas present.
Hold on. Name a song from my Christmas album, Gwen.
Let's not go shopping.
She's
proving us wrong.
She's proving us wrong. Okay, what would you play? What would you play from the album, Pete?
It's a Wonderful Life.
With me and my dad. Oh, well, obviously, that's a perfect
That's
choice.
The one.
Hello, it's me, Jamie Lang, and I've got a new podcast, and this time there are no gimmicks. It's just great company. Because the thing is, I realize the reason I love podcasts so much is because they're a great way to connect with people.
Hello, I'm Youngblood.
Joe Brand.
I'm Paloma Faith.
Jay Blades.
Elizabeth Day.
Zara Larson. Casper
Lee. And I'm Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Apparently.
It's Great Company with me, Jamie Lang. Coming Wednesday, the 27th of March.
Young Robbie is certainly not shy in coming forward when he's got an album out, is he? Ho, ho, ho! But who am I to dampen his enthusiasm? Certainly not at this festive time of the year, when frankly he needs the cash to keep everything ticking over. People's gotta work. If you have heard Robbie's Christmas album, he might have mentioned it once or twice, then you know it's a team effort. Not only has he roped in his wife and children to appear on some of the tracks, but as always, there's his loyal band playing all the good bits too. Robbie's band are pop round for a glass of something festive. Shay Williams's.
In the room today, we have Carl Brazil, who is the drummer in my band.
For 10 years now.
for 10 years. And we've got Jerry Meehan, who's the bass player in the band. For how long?
17 years, Rob.
Jerry wins. Well, yeah. And I've got my wife, who's been my wife for...
Well, 13 years we've been together.
Yeah.
10 years wife next year.
And Gwen, my mother-in-law.
I've been Ida's mum for 40 years, too.
Carl.
Yeah?
Are you excited for Christmas Day?
Very much so.
Yeah.
You know why.
Yeah.
Have you done any of your Christmas shopping yet?
No. I was going to ask you to help me with that, but I've changed my mind.
Why?
Well, I think I'm sorted.
Really?
Yeah. We've bought a house instead. So I think that'll do for this year. But
right.
I'm looking forward to Christmas because I'm spending it at the Williams.
See that?
You'll be getting a gift.
Oh. I was just saying, you bought a house.
Yes.
So you're not getting a present.
Well, we've definitely had the discussion.
You bought two houses.
Well,
you're remodeling a house and you bought a house.
And actually, if...
Because I'm considerably richer than you are.
Because I don't need anything. So if I get something small and nice will be fine, but I don't really need anything.
And your boy Finn is how old?
9.
And what time does he get up?
He's a bit like me. He likes a good sleep. So probably 7:30 Christmas Day.
Where are you going for Christmas?
Well, I'm going to the Williams household for Christmas. Very much looking forward to it. The food's always fantastic. The entertainment's always good.
Slave away at the kitchen. You know me.
You're very, very... You actually started talking about how excited you are for Christmas about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't with you when you were saying...
I know, because I remember saying it to you a couple of times and you just went... All right.
Yeah. But it was like 2 months ago.
I think, it's an extra special one this year.
I'm so excited.
Our chocolate, Christmas. And our G&Ts.
It's June.
It's because of the build-up with the record. We've been... Working on Christmas songs.
Just the music for Christmas.
Yeah, no, I'd got this whole thing in front of me, which is promo the album. You know, so that's what I was thinking of.
But honestly,
if you'd have said, "I'm very excited to promo the album for Christmas," I'd have been right with you.
I meant a whole package, you see.
Now,
I'm
super excited.
Yeah, don't rain on his reindeer parade.
No, I'm not. I just wasn't with him on that page at that time.
Yeah.
You know, quite often we're not.
I remember saying it.
I remember saying it to him,
thinking.
Yeah,
now, it is, if you think about it, I mean, I've been talking about Christmas, making Christmas music, and then this plan has come in. You're not always in the UK, so the build-up's been slow but exciting.
And the kids get on so well.
Exactly.
And they have their little thing, and we all sit around the table and have our chocolate and our G&Ts and have a laugh and
Teddy
play music.
Teddy fancies Finn.
Yeah, Teddy fancies your boyfriend.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I said that to him in the car. I said, I think Teddy's got a crusher, and he went, Dad, that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like when she had a cold. You know, when she got the cold, and her voice was a bit raspy. She goes, "Don't tell him I'm sick. Just tell him my voice is tired from singing."
I believe the youngsters today would say that is beyond cute. Now the Williamses do like to live among the animals. So does a certain actor called Brian Blessed. He's absolutely mad. And lo. Is that the clip-clopping I hear of a new Christmas arrival?
It's the only thing missing from this place is a couple of horses.
Well, funny you should say that.
There might be an addition to the family in a couple days' time.
It's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
We were debating this for ages.
Expanding.
I wasn't with it because we're never here, really.
Yeah, exactly.
We're never here in this particular house in Wiltshire, but now we are more here and we absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we do tend to overbuy when it comes to pets. At one point, we had 10 dogs.
That is correct.
And our white cream curtains were just like
soaked
two or three
pissed.
Foot of piss and shit.
Yeah, it was horrible.
They were just like cream, then brown.
It was just like a urine covering.
Anyway, drum roll. Shetland ponies.
Yay! The kids have no idea.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Here's a question. What should we call them?
I was just thinking
that's a good question, yeah.
I had two hamsters called Crispin and Bollock. That's probably not right.
Crispin and Bollock. Yeah.
Maybe because they're coming at Christmas, they could have slightly Christmassy themed names.
Yeah, something Christmassy would be cute. Like, I don't know, Rudolph and Blitzer. Yeah.
What are all the reindeer names? Do you know?
Rudolph, Blitzer, Donner, Dasher,
Dash is a great name.
Prancer.
Prancer and Vixen? Is it Vixen or is that?
Ida Field with the full knowledge.
Get in, Christmas lover to the core.
Ha, you've gone early on the celebrations there. A nice try, Ida, but incorrect. Firstly, who's this Blitzer? It's Blitzen. And you forgot all about Dancer, Comet, and Cupid. They will not be happy, let me tell you. A common mistake to make. The radio team consists of Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen. Not Blitzer. With Rudolph leading the way. Oh, and Robbie, Rudolph was very taken that you wrote a song about him on your album. He's made me play it in the stable on repeat. Traditions, there are many of them to uphold at Christmas. And Ida and Robbie have gone one step further and invented another one.
Whilst in America, in my house full of Americans, me and Ida and J-Mo, my English mate that lives in America, decided that we'd create a false tradition to tell the Americans that this is what we do in Britain. And we made up this one called Break the Bread. So what you do is you get a baguette, which is French, and somebody holds one end and then somebody holds the other end. And we got Kay, who's from Iran, right?
Right. Yeah, and no she's going to be here for Christmas.
Great. We should break the bread
again.
Oh,
we're definitely breaking
the
bread.
And then we all shout, break the bread, break the bread, break the bread. And then we get a karate chop the bread.
In the middle. But we all broke out in song, like just making it up as we went. We all just kind of looked at each other and knew, and we sang it. And she really thought it was a tradition. And
so did Gwen.
And she just karate chopped that baguette. And then it became a tradition.
And then it was like, yay! And then she was like a year later, aren't we going to break the bread?
Yeah.
So listen, can I just tell everybody, dear listeners at home, break the bread is a fantastic tradition.
It's a great.
Do you reckon we can, like a rumor, we can start.
Hashtag break the bread.
Hashtag break the bread.
Break the bread. It's so much fun because you just get everyone.
And it has to be a baguette.
Slice of bread is quite difficult.
A slice of bread will do if you haven't got a baguette. But fortunately, we had a baguette.
It's an English, French, Iranian tradition, football song tradition.
Yes.
But like she really genuinely thought it was an English tradition and got really into it. And then it did become a Williams family tradition on every birthday.
Yeah.
Somebody broke the bread.
Maybe a lot of traditions are started like that.
As they say, whatever floats your boat. If you've been listening over the past few weeks, you might have assumed that the Williamses can lean towards materialism. Not so, my friends. Robbie does not need gifts, so if you brought him something, the way is clear to return said items toot sweet, or just keep them for yourself.
Rob's got to be the hardest person to buy for at Christmas.
No shit, I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. I do enjoy that you enjoy the trunk now because that gives me joy and you get excited like a kid at Christmas.
That's another tradition.
Discovering your
For the record, I know you don't need anything or want anything, but if you had to choose something right now, no matter big or small, what would it be?
I was probably FIFA coins.
FIFA 2021.
I was going to go something golf. I was going to say like a...
No. Forget
are you a
the
present
FIFA
guy?
You
no,
need,
not FIFA coins.
Are you disappointed if you don't...
No, yeah, I don't need a present.
I don't need presents.
I'm not bothered.
Have you had to choose one thing that, you know, actually...
Versace underpants.
Already did it.
For Christmas?
I've already done it.
Oh, don't...
Colour?
Yeah.
What colour?
Why did you...
Because I don't want Carl to go get Versace underpants.
You're
not
having
enough Versace
underpants. Fine, get some Versace underpants. It's not your gift. It's just...
Wish you hadn't have asked.
Yeah.
It's in the coffer.
What colour?
Gold. White.
Did I just make you upset by telling you there's Versace underwear?
Yeah.
Did I?
Well, I want Versace underwear.
Well, so that I'm on the right page.
She's
joking. You could have, after this, just said to him, don't get that because I've got it.
Okay, let's pretend I didn't say
okay.
that.
Okay.
And you
apparently, I am bothered about presents.
Yeah, I think you are. Very, very touchy about them.
I'm really, really,
I've got to
really
say that
sensitive
apparently
about it.
It's a very good, it's a very good, it's a very
I mean,
good answer.
It's more, you know, it's just a little something in there. I just thought, you know, you wouldn't be like...
Leave it now.
Oh,
they do socks as well.
No, they do.
You've already got the best Christmas slippers anyway.
I really have. I've got
the
best.
I take a lot of pride in your gift. Now you've made me feel really bad about the Versace underwear.
Really?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm only semi-joking. I'm more angry that I've now got to think up of something else to tell Carl to
I'll think of something.
Tell Carl to get me. Look at me.
I'll tell Carl.
Now, I've got servants.
He's got
like
servants.
Ida's had all her life.
I'm his servant now. I will...
Present bitch.
I'm your present bitch.
If you could buy a golf, handicap, I bet you would.
If I could buy a golf handicap,
I will give you some ideas, Carl, of things I haven't got for Rob that you can get. My Christmas tradition with you is a Christmas card and a trunk full of goodies.
Okay.
And I love
That's
giving
great.
You that.
So what...
Because he's really hard to buy for.
He is.
Santa needs a drink. Rudolph, is it time? Almost.
Dear listener, you have been listening to me, my band, and my family, and my band are extended members of my family. So from my family to yours, happy Christmas, everybody. I hope you have the best time ever.
And to you too, William says. So boys and girls, people everywhere listening, thank you for adding our humble witterings to your festive season. We do hope you've enjoyed this time at home with the Williamses. And all that remains is for me, Brian Blessed, or Santa, your choice, to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and the happiest of New Years. Bye now! Bye! Bye! On Dasher and Dancer and Blitzen, Blitzen, head south. Rudolph, take the second star to the right and head on till morning. This show was produced with Fourth Floor Creative and Sony Music.